Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Tuning the Bow, a discipleship podcast focused on how parents can best disciple their kids in their home.
Excellent.
Does that fit better, or is it?
It does.
My name is Matthew Wilbanks. I'm here with my good friend and grammar Nazi, Tim Rose. Tim, how are you doing today?
You know, Matt, I'm a bit tired, but I'm doing well.
Yeah.
So I'm on like day three or four of my wife and kids out of the house. They are currently with family, and I've done a lot of housework. A lot. I mean, dishes are good. I cleaned the washing machine. I mowed the lawn.
Wait, you actually mowed the lawn?
I did.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I still got another night tonight of nothing. So there you go. I think my plans for this evening are one of our fellow churches in the area. They do a bowling for missions on Tuesday nights. Oh, so nice. I think I'm going bowling tonight. I was asked to go throw a bowling ball. And I said, sure, why not?
Hey, man, you do interesting things when you can. It's not all just, you know, being sad all the time whenever your wife and kids aren't home.
I did make a conscious decision this time, unlike most times, that I was going to bless myself with good food while they were gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I did a full fried catfish basket for myself.
Ooh.
One night. It was delicious. I did a souped up chicken mac and cheese. It was lovely last night. So,
man.
So yeah, we're not eating like we're, you know, a bachelor, but we are living the bachelor life. And
yep.
Yeah, last night I made a Lego Star Wars figurine because it's what you do when you have no one to talk to.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's either that or you either build models or you play video games or watch TV. Like, you don't, that's just what guys do.
Yeah. And I, you know, Matt, you know this about me. I'm not much of a gamer myself. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like three sports games I play and that's about it.
Yep.
And that's gotten worse as I've gotten older. Like, I just, it ain't a big deal anymore. Yeah. It ain't a big deal in my life. And, you know, I listen to the news, but this is basketball and hockey season right now. I mean, spring training baseball is going on, but it's not all really broadcast.
Yep.
So it's a pretty anti-TV time in Tim's life.
Mm. Yep.
But, you know, the baseball season is about to start up. And
it is.
That means we get an entire year of being the World Series champions.
It's true. Now, here's, you know, not to go too much on a tangent. What is the percentage of the Rangers repeating as World Series champions?
You know, now you are going on a tangent here, but the Rangers have an amazing lineup. Because in addition to everyone who is there for the World Series, and I'm including Adolis Garcia in there even though he was out for most of it.
Yep.
You know, we lost Mitch Garver, which Mitch Garver's a good player. I'm not saying he was bad. He was great DH for us. But in his stead, we're gaining Wyatt Langford, who has just been killing the baseball. I mean, Matt, it will not shock me if, especially during the really hot days of the summer, when we're playing, you know, game after game after game, don't be shocked to see Ezekiel Duran taking some starts at shortstop and then Corey Kluber and Marcus Semien DHing to just give them rest because there's not going to be spots for guys to go. The issue the Rangers have is their starting pitching. Is it going to be good? Is it not? You got Eovaldi coming back. He should be doing fine.
Yep.
You've got DeGrom and Scherzer as well, who will come back after the All-Star break. But you also have zero knowledge if they will actually be healthy after that. But if they come back and they're healthy for a half season, I mean, it would be hard for this team not to go back to the World Series if you're throwing Eovaldi, DeGrom, and Scherzer on back-to-back nights.
It's true. So what's your percentage?
Jeez. I mean, it's going to sound like I'm a pessimist.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, to me, like, even the Chiefs right now who've went back-to-back 2 years in a row, like, I'm only giving the Chiefs a 25% chance of going three-peat.
Yep.
Like, so that's kind of the highest of the high. I would give the Rangers probably about a 17% chance.
Mm.
I think if they're sitting – if we get to the All-Star break and they're at 500, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only are they naturally going to heat up now knowing what it's like to play that full season through the World Series, mm-hmm. but that's when we gain back pitchers.
Yep.
If they're sitting at the All-Star break, 12 games under 500, I'm a little more nervous.
Mm.
But I think they've got a really good shot to get to the playoffs again. And I think once they get to the playoffs, as they proved this past year, if you can just keep hitting, you can get a World Series.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
I was thinking anywhere between 10 to 20%. But that's mainly because I am pessimistic when it comes to my favorite sports teams because most of them are not good. So that's just very uneducated. I just look at things very negatively when it comes to sports. Because it got to a point where I realized, wow, I was, staying up late trying to listen to the end of a Cowboys game on a radio, and then they would lose, and I'd get all sad, and I'd still have to go to sleep. And then I realized, I was like, man, shouldn't let sports, lord over my life like that. So now I'm just like, they'll probably lose out, and it's just expected. So when they do actually do good and do well, it's a shock, which is a much better way to live, I think.
Yeah, but this is not a sports podcast about spring training baseball or the World Series Texas Rangers. But this is a podcast that we want to talk about something that is coming up very soon, and in some places I think has already started, but mm-hmm. I know for us it is next week, and that is spring break, and kind of not just spring break, but spring break springboarding us to a discussion about vacation and what we do mm-hmm. on vacations and how we can continue, or even should we continue, to disciple our kids during vacation.
Before you get into it, though, I just want to say I absolutely hate your usage of springboarding in that sentence.
It was so good, though.
It is such a pastor's thing to just try to gain some momentum going in this transition. And it's just like, oh, gosh, he did just say that.
If my last sentence was a beautiful mallard duck, you know what you just did? You just shot it. Shot it down. All the momentum I had, and I was going to hand it over to you and say, Matt, would you go ahead and begin this conversation? But now I don't care. So at some point, I'm going to stop talking in this sentence, and you're going to start talking because you're a turd.
Thank you.
That's what you need to know. So, yeah, we're going to talk about vacation.
Heck yeah, vacation. So what we want to do is I kind of want to take this from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he is saying, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. And that applies also to how we vacation. Yes, of course, we've all been on vacations to where we've relaxed, we've had fun, we've been able to do more things, but as parents, do you vacation as a way to get away from normal life, or do you vacation as a way to kind of let your, metaphorically speaking, let your hair down and kind of do things that you wouldn't normally do back home because you're away from people? And so as we think about vacation, like, that's something we need to consider, is are you doing things that bring God praise, glory, and honor at home and on vacation? So that's kind of what we want to discuss very quickly. This, as you can kind of tell, it's not going to be that long of an episode. It's just something to kind of give you to kind of think about how you'll approach it. But Tim, you have been on lots of vacations, not just with your family, but also with your wife's family. And
correct.
What is kind of the mindset for you, especially taking your wife with her family to vacation? How do you continue to minister to her in those moments?
Yeah. So the first thing that we have to realize with the vacation, and we recognize that not all vacations are created equal. Some vacations, especially based on who you are and what you decide to do, some vacations seem to be more busy, mm-hmm. even sometimes than our normal lives.
Yes.
Some vacations are much more relaxing, and you're doing less. So Mary and I have been on both styles. We went to one in Europe that was we were doing a lot. We were either hiking or we were looking at things. It was great. It was a great vacation. I loved it. But it was one that I probably rested more when I got home than necessarily on the vacation. We also were about to go on a vacation as a cruise. And when you're on a cruise, you do nothing. And it's awesome. Mm. It will be completely restful. One of the things, though, that I would encourage as we talk about ministering to our families during it, it is, I think there is significance in remembering to still Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
I think if all we ever do for vacations is we go, go, go and never stop, we lose something very significant. One of the things that we did well on the vacation that we did a ton on was, first of all, there were flights involved, which I'm a flight sleeper, so that was fine with me. But also the day we came back, we did nothing. We just relaxed because it was, okay, we know we're going to be tired. And so sometimes we have to plan that even on the back end, but we need to rest. And this comes from the first chapter of Genesis. We notice on the seventh day, God rests. He doesn't rest because he's tired. He doesn't rest because it was difficult for him. God rests because he wants to give us an example that, hey, we're to rest and we're to give a day to the Lord. I mean, with that, I think that means as well that the general statement I would say is this: when you're on a vacation and you have the opportunity to go to church, go to church.
Yes.
So when we go on a vacation, Matt, you and I are staff members. Oftentimes we either don't miss a Sunday or like we intentionally work around it. Yeah. Or that's like the day we're traveling or something. Mm-hmm. So we don't miss two in a row. But when you go on vacation, go to church. It's not a crime. It's great. Mm-hmm. You get to go somewhere. I mean, I'll tell you, we never go to Sunday school when we go to church. We just go to the service.
Service. Mm-hmm.
We don't really want to be in a small group there. But go in. Go enjoy worship somewhere. It's not even a bad thing to look and say, hey, what pastors have I heard of that are from around the area? You can always ask your pastor as well. Hey, do you know any good pastors in this area? Because we're going to be there over a Sunday and we'd love to go to church somewhere.
Yep.
The important thing as well is that this begins to signify to our families that although we're relaxing, although we're getting out of the normal, there are some things that always remain. You know, not to sound too much like a pastor, but if your Bible's not coming with you on vacation, you're not doing it correct. Mm. You should be able to enjoy very sweet time with the Lord. And although there are some vacations for sure that you're probably not going to go out, you know, if you do especially in the United States, you do a Washington, D.C. vacation, you're probably not making it into nature. But we always try and do something in our vacation that puts us seeing the majesty of God.
Mm.
You know, when we were in Europe, man, we were in the Alps. It was like, wow, on this cruise, like we're going to be in the middle of the ocean. We're going to see, wow, look at the expanse of which God has created.
Yep.
That we're not even able to see land. And yet he still reigns supreme over this sea. Mm. What we want to do as parents is, I don't think obviously we want to use a vacation as, well, since you're not doing school or anything like that, we're just going to, you know, go hardcore on, you know, our Bible and everything like that.
Right.
Because you do want to rest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think taking intentional times of saying, hey, We don't have anything pressing today. Hey, yeah, we're going to go up and we're going to go to Disney World, but first, let's meet with the Lord. I think it's also significant because often when we go on vacation, just we go to places that aren't obviously our house, unless we're staycating. But we go to places that, man, our kids may see things they haven't been used to. This is one of the things that Mary and I have talked about as we go to vacations on the coasts. The coasts don't live like we do here in the middle of Texas, right, or for us, West Texas, the middle of the country. That's important. I mean, last but certainly not least, then, Matt, I'll turn it over to you because I've answered your question about five different ways. The other side of it, when you vacation with family, this is, I think, something that deserves to be talked about, is it is incredibly important to sit there with your kids and to sit there with your spouse. And as you're around your family members, be able to show them, hey, this is why we do what they do, and this is why we don't do what they do. Mm. And standards don't get lowered because you're on a vacation.
Yep.
So if I go on a vacation and I've got a family member who decides to drink, that's their prerogative. That does not change what I do. And showing that to your kids is saying, hey, look, your mom and dad are in a situation where we're being pressured to do this, but we're not, is such a valuable lesson because your kids don't get to see that elsewhere.
Yep.
When we've been on vacation with family, like, yeah, we had family members drink. We don't. Why? Because we never drink. We don't think it's right. And we're not going to be peer pressured. Even more so now with kids, I'm like, hey, boys, look, your dad's not getting peer pressured by people that I love dearly. We stand on our own 2 feet. And so we need to minister to our families, even when we're out with family, because also the other side of this is, Matt, when you go on vacation with family, there is often drama.
Yes.
Because you got people who don't live with each other. And so, Matt, you want to talk a little bit about that side of things?
Yep. And just a quick thing on the point of alcohol. Like, we have to remember that Romans 8 talks about how there is no height nor depth nor anything on this world that can separate us from the love of God, which means God follows us, or he's already at our vacation destination where we're going. And we have to remember that if getting drunk at home is a sin, getting drunk on vacation is also still a sin. The actual act of drinking itself is not sinful, but it is that notion of, you know, well, I'm away from things, so I can indulge myself a bit. And self-control in those instances speaks more to your kids than self-control on a day-to-day basis at home. So just take that as you will. But when it comes to drama, like, sometimes that can be a good teaching moment as well for your kids to see how you interact with difficult times. For instance, Tim, you and I and Mary went on vacation one time, and while we were at a golf range and we were loading up to go back to our hotel, I got a call from my boss that told me that I was getting let go. And in that moment, there was a lot of things swirling through my head, but the only thing I did was I turned and looked at y'all and I said, hey, can I stay with y'all for a bit?
Yeah, you did.
Which created even more problems for y'all and less problems for me. But there are times when unexpected things happen on vacation. And again, this can be used as a time to glorify the Lord through how we respond. I have been on vacation with my family when I was younger, and we went with another family. And our two family dynamics, they clash in some ways. That's not to say that we had a miserable time, but it's a time where you have to learn to go, if I'm with another family, I need to be respectful to them as well as my own. And it creates interesting things that can happen. But it still remains the point that we must not forget that 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to God. We can't forget just because we're off somewhere else, we can just lose all of our morals. And to your point, that might mean if you decide to, you know, find a church service, or even if, you know, there might be an area where you're not comfortable with going to the, any of the churches, there, your church or many or other churches might have an online service you can watch. Like, that's also fine. What's important is you're saying this time we are dedicating to the Lord.
Yeah.
And you might have some family members that go, what are you doing? And that's, again, your time to show and use that as a way to even teach your family of why God matters to you so much. Now, we need to avoid legalism. And I won't go into too much detail about that. But all I'll say is this. You need to find a way where you can enjoy your vacation and your family also doesn't hate your guts.
Yep.
Like, your family might do things you don't do. Don't hold it against them because they're not you. You cannot control what they do, nor can they control what you do and make you do anything. You have still complete cognitive ability to say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. Will your family get offended? Maybe. Will the Lord be pleased in what you do? Most definitely. Which is, by the way, more important than your family's view of how you and your spouse and your, you know, carry yourself even on vacation. So don't be afraid. Conflict is not a bad thing, because conflict can actually lead to a way you glorify the Lord by addressing something and that, or them saying, why don't you go out and do this with us? Why are you always here? Why did you go to church? Why did you do that? We all slept in. And that's conflict right there. And you can use that to glorify the Lord by simply stating, you know, this time is a time every week of the year where we set aside a time to go and worship God uninterrupted. And I think that takes a stand that is different from what a lot of people do on vacations. I know that was the stance that my family took when we went on vacation. We tried to go to a church service, but the service was actually completely filled. And my parents made the decision, you know, we're just going to go back home because we want to make sure everyone here locally has a place to worship and we're not taking someone's spot. Like, yeah. Again, that's commendable. And, you know, was I thrilled that we were getting up early in vacation to go to church? No, I was a kid back then. I'm not going to be thrilled with that decision. But there's a reason I still remember we did that, because it made that much of an impact on me that my mom and stepdad said, this is important, so we're going to do it. Like, we can't just brush that off in a way. And it might create drama. And if your drama just stays there at the vacation and you go back home and your family's perception changes, you know, positively or negatively, however they decide it. But if you stay and firmly, if you stay steadfast in your beliefs and how you want to glorify the Lord, like, that is much more commendable than anything else we've talked about, really, when it comes to having fun. That's pretty much it. That's all I've got. Tim, do you have anything else?
I got one other thing. When it does come with family, my encouragement would be, is that, yes, you know, we want you to stand on, obviously, what it is that you believe and how you act. We always want you to act consistent with your beliefs. But I do think one thing that is significant is your own righteousness does not have to get in the way of your family. Mm-hmm. And often what happens is we end up arguing about things, being judgmental, things like that.
Right.
And so when Mary and I, we go on a family vacation, the first thing we say as we get on the road, hey, these people are our family and they're always going to be our family. Mm. And if we have to go in and tell our kids, hey, this is what they're doing wrong, but it's okay, just leave it to us, then that's fine.
Right.
If we have to walk away from situations, that doesn't harm anybody. Mm. It only harms other people when we decide, you know what, I'm going to force everyone else to live the way I say.
Yep, because that is legalism.
Yep. And so I would just encourage that of, yes, I realize that sometimes what ends up happening, and I have a weird understanding of this because I don't have siblings. I think sometimes we see our siblings do something we don't like, and knowing that they were raised the same way we were, it becomes more upsetting to us.
Mm.
Because we actually can sit there and say, no, you do know better than that.
Yep.
And the reason I know is because I know better and I grew up with you. And therefore, we feel like that, along with our obvious connection, gives us a footing to correct the behavior immediately.
Mm.
And although I recognize the logic that gets us to that place, it's not as logical as you think that it is.
Right.
Because ultimately, though, yes, you were raised the same way, your sibling is making good or bad decisions for different reasons than you're making good or bad decisions.
Hmm.
Your sibling is making different decisions than you for different reasons than you're making those decisions. And although some may preclude you from extended stays with them or extended time around them, and you may have to remove yourself, it is far better for you to keep the ability to witness into their life than to ruin that over something that isn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go into a family vacation and you're sitting there and your brother and sister-in-law, you get up to the meal and you say, hey, we'd love to pray for our food. And they say, well, we worship Satan and we think that anyone who worships Jesus needs to be, you know, murdered. All right, that's going to be an issue.
Yes.
By the way, I wouldn't go back on vacation with them. That is not the norm. And so, you know, if it's politely saying something when asked, that's fine. You know, we had a vacation. We went with not just Mary's immediate family, but multiple members of the rest of the family. Somebody offered me a drink, and I said, no, I don't do that. I don't think that honors the Lord. I wasn't mean about it or anything. I said, you're more than welcome to. It doesn't bother me one bit. But yeah, it's just not what I do. Also, at the time, I had a pregnant wife. And I'm like, when we have to drive back to our beach house, I don't want to have any alcohol in me whatsoever.
Yep.
You know, very simple things. And for us, I mean, maybe we're just old people. But for us, we don't mind it because normally there becomes a time of night when I start to be more irate with people as they consume alcohol. And so for us, it meant, oh, hey, we get to go to bed early. And we went and sat out on the dock at our place or whatever. Mm. But like I said, the big picture there is you want to preserve the ability to minister to your family. And if that means that periodically you need to break yourself away from them, that is far better than sitting on a vacation deciding that's where you're going to have the war of the century.
Yep. All good things in moderation. That's what you got to keep in mind at all times. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you for sitting through sports and sitting through us rant about how wonderfully terrible vacations could be. And we will see y'all in the next episode. Bye, everybody.